Hey, you're listening to a New Life Church podcast. We hope this message will impact your life. If you have a story to share, email us at info@newlife4kokomo.org. If you would like to give financially towards this ministry, you can do so by giving online or by texting New Life 4 Kokomo to 77977. Be sure to follow us online through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again for joining us and prepare your heart for the Word of God.
Well, we are in week 3 of a series that I've just simply entitled Non-Negotiable, that there are some things in church that are not up for discussion. They're non-negotiable, that there are a lot of things we do in church. We do student ministry and kids ministry, and we have potluck dinners and life groups and all of these things, and they're all great, they're all good, but there are some things that if you were to cease doing, you would really no longer be the church. The first thing we talked about in our series was that the first non-negotiable of church is Scripture. We talked about how Scripture is essential, and it is the inspired Word of God. Last week we talked about the non-essential of worship, and what we said about worship was that worship was anything that acknowledges God instead of yourself. So that means worship is more than just singing. Worship could be giving. It could be what you do. It could be anything that acknowledges God instead of yourself is worship. Well, today I want to talk about another non-negotiable of church, and that is prayer. Prayer. So we're going to talk about prayer today. And if you got to worship God when you came in this morning, you will see that there's a place for you to take notes. I welcome you to join me in that. And because even the best communicators in the world, they say you'll only remember 4% of what I say, which is very depressing because I work very hard. But if you take notes, you might remember just maybe a percent more, okay? So we're going to talk about prayer today as a non-negotiable. This is something that the church is called to do. We are called to be a house of prayer. So we talked about that we want to be a church that is centered on Scripture, and we want to be a church that is a house of worship, and we want to be a church that is a house of prayer. That there is something powerful when God's people pray. And so the idea behind these non-negotiables is that there are non-negotiable things in church. So in other words, if we are never doing these things, you have my permission to sit me down, look me in the eyes, and call me out on it. You can say, Pastor Devin, we're not preaching the word. Pastor Devin, we're not worshiping. We're too focused on other things. Or Pastor Devin, we are not a house of prayer. These are the things that I give you permission to come at me. Come at me, right? But then there's all kinds of negotiable things about church. That would be like when it comes to worship, there's all kinds of styles and flavors, and we talked about that last week. But that's not worship, that's preference, right? Those are negotiable things. So when it comes to negotiables, it's like, don't come at me with negotiable things. Come at me with non-negotiable things. I want to make sure that as a church we function and not we just are stuck to a certain form. You see the difference? There's form and there's function. I want to function right. We can figure out form. So today, I'm going to talk about the issue of prayer. And I want to look at Psalm 23 as a model for prayer and how that can affect our lives. So if you look with me on the screen, Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What do you lack? No thing. You lack no thing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is probably one of the most common or known scriptures in the Bible, even from people that are not believers of the Bible. They know parts of the Lord of this Psalm 23. It's in rap songs. And people kind of know this. But I'll look at this by way of prayer and today. Also, this is not in your notes. It's not on the screens this morning. But Jesus, he has some things to say about prayer too. And we call it the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, and when you pray. So prayer is not something that he's hoping we do. He says, when you pray, there's an expectation of that you will be a praying people. And when you pray, do not go on babbling like the Pentecostals. Oh, sorry, hold on. Shame. He says, do not go on babbling like pagans. We are a Pentecostal church, just so you know. Do not go on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. And then he says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Then he says, then this is how you should pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he goes on to what we all know as the Lord's Prayer. There's a couple things when I read that really confuse me. Number one, he says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, and when you pray, it's not about your words. And then he says, oh, also, when you pray, it's not about your needs, because I already know what you need before you ask. So if it's not about my words, and if prayer is not about my needs, I gotta be honest, friend, that's all I had. Then how do I pray? And he says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In that first phrase, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The Hebrew translation of those words simply means this, to pray like this, my supplier, our Father, my supplier, who is as close to me as the air I breathe. Because it says, our Father who is in heaven, but it actually is heavens, it's plural, it's atmosphere, it's my supplier who is as close to me as the air I breathe. I stop and I become aware of you. So prayer is not about words necessarily, it's not about needs, but when we pray, we use words and we pray for needs. But prayer, moreover, is about building an awareness that God is your supplier of everything you need. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack no thing. So there's something here that we can learn about prayer. If it's not about words, if it's not about needs, it's about building an awareness that the Lord has everything you need. Now, a couple months ago, we had some nights of prayer, and I'm gonna share a lot of the content that I shared that evening, and a lot of you weren't there, so I felt it was important to deliver this again. But let me ask you a question. If there was a billion dollars buried in your backyard, do you own it? Yes, you do. But do you possess it? No, you don't. So if there was $1 billion buried in your backyard, what do you do? You get a shovel, Chris. And you get all your friends, you call all your family members, and they bring shovels too. And you begin digging, you begin searching for what you hope for, but you do not yet see. This is prayer. Prayer life is discovering what is already yours. The Lord is your shepherd, and you lack what? Nothing. There's $1 billion planted, buried somewhere in your backyard, and it belongs to you. But you don't possess it until you uncover it. And that's prayer. Prayer is digging. It is searching for what you hope for, but you have not yet seen. And it is begin to possess what has been yours all along, because the Lord is your shepherd, and you lack nothing. So I would say this is the first thing in your notes, that prayer is not about asking. Prayer is aligning. It's not asking God to fill your need. He knows your needs before you ask. Prayer is aligning to what is already yours here, now, today. The Lord is our shepherd, and we don't lack anything. So if you are lacking something, it's time to pray. It's time to align yourself to the will of God. Not convince God to be aligned to your will, but to align yourself to the will of God. So prayer is not asking. Prayer is about aligning. Prayer is not an exercise for God to meet all the areas that you lack. Prayer is an exercise in aligning your faith to the provisions that God has for your life right now. Nudge your neighbor and tell him right now. Right now. So what is lacking in you? What is lacking in you? What is lacking in you? You know, years ago, I was a youth pastor at a church in Indianapolis, and I was working on a project at the church. So before I went in that morning, I went to Lowe's and I had to buy some like 18-inch pipes. And so I go to the church office that morning, and I get there before anybody else is there. And I go in the front door, and typically when I would open the front door of this church, the alarm would start to go off, and I have to go in and put in the code. This very morning, I opened up the door, and I don't hear the alarm. I thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe someone forgot to turn it on. But then when I go to the office door, usually when you open the office door, the alarm will go beep, 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 because the door, there's a signal. I open the office door, and I hear no beep, 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 which means that there's a door propped open somewhere, or that it means that there's a serious problem. And so when it didn't, it just, you know, you get used to the routine of things happening. It didn't happen. I thought, something's not right. So I turn around, and I look down the church lobby, and I see every single closet door open. I see there's a welcome center. There's all these cabinets. Every cabinet door is open. And I see a rock sitting in the middle of the lobby. And I thought, oh my Lord, I'm not alone. So I slowly set down my Lowe's bag, and I pull out one of those pipes, and I slowly make my way down the lobby. I would like to say I was being tough. And I get down to the lobby where I can now look down a hallway. And when I look down the hallway, I see the back door and the glass is completely shattered. And I realized that the rock had been thrown through the door, made its way down the hallway, and landed in the middle of the lobby. And I said, oh my gosh. So I started making my way down that hallway. There's trouble, let's go towards it, yeah. I've got my little 18-inch lead pipe going down the hallway, and I swear I heard something. And I ran as fast as I could. I ran out the front door with my pipe in my hand. I get in my car, and I drive across the street and call the police. Like I was so gone. I was out of there. And so I call the police. I call the Indianapolis Police Department. I'm like, yo, someone broke into my church. And I told him where it was, and they looked up at the system. They were able to see that an officer had already responded, actually. And he said there should be like a note on the back door saying that they checked it out, they searched the property or whatever. I was like, I ain't going back in there. You need to send people right now. Right now, I'm not going back in there. And so they sent. Oh, I'm such a dork. They sent police officers over, and I had the police search the entire church and they, like, cleared the building. And they said, no, you're good. And obviously these guys had gone in and they stole stuff from the church, and there was things missing, and there was like. And our kids in youth area, there's like Xboxes missing, computers missing, stuff like that. But I remember I was just so terrified. And I love telling that story. But sometimes when we are lacking something in our life, it's because someone stole something from us. Or maybe something seems lacking in our lives is because something has been broken. And so the question is, who robbed you of your confidence? Who broke in and stole your innocence? If the Lord is your shepherd, the scripture says you don't lack anything. So even when things get stolen or broken, if the Lord is your shepherd, there's restoration. Total restoration. That's why I do what I do, friend. I love seeing lives restored. There's nothing like it. So if the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. But before people come to learn that God is a good shepherd in which you don't lack anything at all, they try to make other things that supplier, other things that provider, other things that shepherd. So if the Lord is not your shepherd, then there are things of this world that are trying to be your shepherd. You see, if the Lord is your shepherd, you don't lack anything. But if anything of the world is your shepherd, you always need more. You'll always be lacking. You'll always need more. If something of this world is your shepherd, you will always need more fame. You'll need more money. You'll want more acceptance. You'll want more attention. You'll need more followers, more retweets, more Snapchats, more text messages. You'll need more clothes and better fashion. You'll need more friends. You'll want more dates. You'll want more highs. You'll want better looks, better toys, better cars, better skills, better kids. Hello. Just me? You'll want better homes. You'll want better phones. You'll want more peace. You'll want more hope. You'll want more love. You'll want more comfort. You'll want more purpose. You'll want more thrill. You'll want more answers. If anything else is your shepherd, you'll always need more. More. So when anything of this world is your shepherd, it is quite depressing. It is quite lacking. It's quite empty. I only tell you this from experience. It's empty. It's lacking. It's depressing. It leaves you feeling lonely and discouraged and anxious. In John chapter 10, Jesus claims to be a good shepherd. Because there's a difference between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. He says that he is a good shepherd because he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. That's why when Jesus also says, I am the gate, a good shepherd would put all of his sheep in a pen for the night to protect them. But then that shepherd would lay in the entrance so that no wolf or any or thief could come in through anywhere but the gate, but they'd have to pass through the shepherd first. They'd have to pass through the shepherd first. So Jesus says, I'm a good shepherd, but I'm also the gate. If anything wants to come to you, they got to come through me first. He's a good shepherd. He's willing to lay down his life because the hired hand, when they see the wolf coming, they run. Like that youth pastor running out of that building. The hired hand runs, but the shepherd stands to fight because the hired hand doesn't care for his sheep, but Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave his life so that yours could be restored. He bled and died on the cross to take away the punishment, the guilt, and the shame of all your failures to see you restored and standing right in your identity. So make the Lord your shepherd, align your faith to the reality of Christ, and in that alignment, you can lack no thing. Prayer is about alignment. If we look at our next scripture in that Psalm, in that 23rd Psalm, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Babe, will you bring me those two bottles of water? Thank you. Clap for my wife. Isn't she cute today? Good Lord. So the next thing I will say is this, is this in your notes, is that prayer stabilizes the soul. Prayer stabilizes the soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Quiet waters were important to a shepherd because you can't lead sheep to drink from raging rivers. It sweeps them away. It's dangerous. I told you a story about a raging river a few weeks ago, if you remember that. So quiet waters was essential. So the question is, what is the state of your soul? Is it this? Or is it quiet waters? You see, if you remember, if the Lord is your shepherd, you don't lack anything. And the soul is full. And when turbulent times come, it's hard to be shaken. But if your soul is lacking, every small disturbance in life disturbs your soul. Every time someone doesn't use their turn signal, every time you use mobile order at Starbucks and you show up and they didn't make it, Every time the drive-through line takes too long, every time the kids talk back, every time the boss looks at you funny or doesn't respond to an email, like everything disturbs the soul. And you live a life in just total constant chaos with raging waters because you're empty. And when you're empty, the smallest movements disturb the soul. But when the soul is full, you can endure so much in turbulent times. Although you might feel restless, watch. It settles so quickly because the soul is full. This is what prayer does. Prayer stabilizes the soul because when the Lord is your shepherd and you don't lack anything, do you see the difference between the two? To live full is to have a stabilized soul. We live so stressed because we're always missing something on the inside. When the state of your soul is empty, everything disturbs it. Or maybe I don't have a can of soda, but maybe your life is a life under pressure. And at any moment, that baby's about to burst. And whoever's closest to you is about to be the casualty of your breakdown. Prayer stabilizes the soul. It fills you up. Do you see the importance of quiet waters? I've lived like this. It is not fun. I've lived like this. And you can come at me. The enemy can come at me. My finances can go wrong. I can get sick. I can be down. People can leave me. People can stab me in the back. But there is a calm in me that is not of myself. It's the good shepherd. It's living full. Because turbulent times will absolutely come, right? I mean, if you've lived any amount of years, you know turbulence comes. And for some people, it throws them. But some people can stay stable. And I would ask you, what is the condition of your soul this morning? Is it quiet waters? Or is it chaos? And you don't have to live this way. You don't have to live this way. The Lord can give you, lead you beside quiet waters. So what's the state of your soul? The next verse says this. It says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Some translations say, he leads me along paths of righteousness. Now, did you know that if you went to Israel, you could say, take me to the paths of righteousness, and they will show you where they are. They'll show you where they are. So I have a picture this morning to show you. This is a mountain in the Israeli area. And as you can see on this hill, you see all these lines going across this mountain. These are the paths of righteousness. These are the right paths. You see, when shepherds have their sheep graze, they lead the sheep along the hill on these paths. And they make these paths along the hill because sheep are really dumb. They are. They just follow the butt in front of them. But should a sheep try to ascend straight to the top of this hill, they would fall. They would become injured and maybe even die. So a shepherd would lead them along these paths, side to side along the hill, and that slowly, one step at a time, when you follow the paths of righteousness, one day you're elevated and you don't even know it. So this is what I would say about prayer, is that prayer is a gradual journey to spiritual growth. That's your third point today. Prayer is a gradual journey to spiritual growth. So when you follow a good shepherd, you don't know you're going up a level. You're just one day different. It's a gradual journey to spiritual growth. And when you follow a good shepherd and you do it consistently, It's not even hard. I remember when I was a junior in high school, I had gone through some troubles at home. My sophomore year of high school, I was a pastor's kid. My sophomore year, my parents had a surprise divorce, and it really wrecked our home. And then you couldn't have convinced me that it had anything to do with my attitude or my grades. But when your GPA starts with a point, you have problems. I know we got a lot of Eastern High School students here. When your GPA starts with a point, get help. So I went from an honor roll student to my GPA starting with a point. And you couldn't have convinced me it was because I was having any problems at home, but really, it was. My senior year of high school, I moved from Ohio, and I finished my senior year in Bentonville, Arkansas, where I became a straight-A student. And I remember my mom asked me, "Devin, what in the world is the difference?" I said, "I don't know. It's really not even that hard." Because I just consistently did the work. I mean, I was surprised. If you do your homework, you get good grades. This is amazing. Where has this been all my life? But when you follow the Good Shepherd along the paths of righteousness, one day you're different. One day you've gone up a level and you didn't even know it. When you consistently do the right things. Well, we talked in our first week when we talked about scripture that spiritual maturity is the consistent application of elementary things, not the extraordinary application, not the occasional application of extraordinary things. It's about consistently doing little things. One day you're different. And it wasn't even hard. The paths of righteousness. One time a family was going to travel from the Midwest to Florida for vacation. And one of the children asked, "How long is that going to take?" He said, the dad said, "We're going to drive. It's going to take about 18 hours. And the kid said, "How are we ever going to get there?" And the dad said, "1 mile at a time." "Well, how long is that going to take?" "It depends on how distracted you become." You see, you could pull over and spend an hour here, an hour there, or you could just plow through, stay focused, keep driving, make strategic stops, be fed, get gas, but keep moving. 1 mile at a time. And one day, 1 hour, you're there. So prayer is a gradual journey to spiritual growth. The fastest way is never always necessarily the safest way. So don't make your own path. Just follow the shepherd. I've tried to make my own path, friend. And I've got the wounds and the scars and the stories to tell. Follow the shepherd. Our next verse in Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You are with me. And the fourth thing I would say today is that prayer overlooks opposition. Prayer overlooks opposition. The psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So if you're here today and you are walking through dark valleys, here's my advice. Don't lie down. Keep going. If you remember, you lie down by quiet waters. You lie down in green pastures. You don't lie down in dark valleys. You keep going. You keep walking. You don't take a season of your life and make it a lifestyle. It's just a season. You can get through this. Don't lie down when you're supposed to pass through. You pass through dark valleys. And if you're in a dark valley today, my encouragement to you is it will pass. Only if you don't lie down, keep going. Don't make a season a lifestyle. Prayer overcomes current opposition. So what do I do with all of my stuff? What do I do with all my conflicts, temptations? What do I do with all my hurts, all my pains, all my grief, all my depression? What do I do with all my questions? These two things. Even though I will. He says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back this time. We're going to start wrapping up this morning. So what do you do with all that? What do you do with your junk? What do you do with your junk drawer? Even though I will. Even though I struggle, I will stay the course. Even though I don't understand, I will lean on the Good Shepherd. Even though I am weak, I will be strong. Even though I'm scared, I will be brave. Even though I doubt, I will believe. And even though I'm hurt, I will be healed. For what? For you, God, you are with me. You are with me. And because of that, I have no reason to fear. And all of this restores the soul. It restores the soul. So are you ready, church? New life? Are you ready for restoration? Are you here today? What's the state of your soul? Are you lacking? You don't have to lack anymore. You see, all of humanity was completely broken in complete despair. But that was not God's design for his children, to live in constant brokenness. So God decided to make a way to restore broken humanity. And he sent his son Jesus. And like a good shepherd who loves his flock, Jesus came. And then you know what he did? He lived the perfect life that I've never been able to accomplish. Guilt-free, shame-free, mistake-free. But then he gave up his life. Gave it away. For what? For broken people. He gave up his life to a brutal death on a cross as payment. Payment for my mistakes. Payment for my failures. Payment for my debt of sin. And by his sacrifice, you too can be restored to the beauty that he made you to be. Through the cross of Christ, you are healed. Through the cross of Christ, you are strong and courageous. Through the cross of Christ, you are mighty and pure, and you can be made whole, not lacking anything. And I tell you what, if you have never accepted this free gift of salvation, it is free for the taking. And it is the best decision you could ever make. Because I've lived this way. I lived this way for too long. I lived this way as a Christian. Chaos, unstable, not full, lacking a lot of things. And I can tell you, I never want to go back to this. There's something about the quiet waters that are found in relationship with God that's brought me wholeness and healing, forgiveness and grace, that has empowered me to live this life, empowered me to be a husband and a father, pastor, a friend, a son, has empowered me to do those things. So this morning, I think it would be important to give all of us an opportunity to respond in some way. Maybe you're here today, you didn't expect to be here today, but you're here today, and you would say, Pastor Devin, that's me. I'm lacking. I have been in the search for more for far too long, and I need something to fill the void. Would you all stand with me this morning, all over the church today, would you all stand with me as we begin to wrap up this morning? Maybe that's you today, and you were saying that you want to turn away from the things that are corroding you, and you want to follow the Good Shepherd. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, who is willing to turn to this freedom in Jesus and follow him? Who is willing to admit their failures and say, God, I need you to fill me again? So maybe for you, it's the first response ever, but maybe for you, you're just here today and you would say, I am lacking something in my life, or I am dealing with hurt, I'm dealing with acceptance issues. I need confidence again. I need my anxiety to be made whole again. Whatever that is, every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you today, you need something from the Good Shepherd and you need to be filled up to stabilize the soul. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand just so I can see it? I know who I'm praying for. Hands up all over the room. Thank you. Thank you. God's doing something here today. Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Okay. In a moment, we're going to sing one last song. But before we do, I want to pray for you. You just stay right there where you are. But I want you to prepare your heart to receive. So all over this church today, New Life, if we just put your hands out like this, like you're about to catch, you're about to receive, let's pray. Our Father, our supplier who is as close to us right now as the air we're breathing, God, we lean into you. Holy Spirit, right now, you know every need. You know every desire. God, you know every failed expectation. God, you know every mistake. You know every stumble. You know every fall that is represented here today. You know every broken heart. You know all those that have been walked out on, walked over, abused, used, and left for all alone. You see them all. And God, today, I pray the Good Shepherd would come. Would you fill people with quiet waters today? I pray quiet waters in your soul in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, when you leave today, I pray that when you leave today, you will feel the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The peace of God will come on you, will comfort you. Romans says that the God of peace will crush Satan underneath of our feet. That peace is a weapon that destroys evil. And I pray for the peace of God right now to fill your soul. So if you would, just turn all of your attention on God and receive him now. Receive him now. God, your peace. As soon as you're ready. Your peace, Lord. Your peace. We pray quiet waters. Quiet waters. Heal and restore every hurt, every pain, every frustration. Those full schedules that have got people weighed down, God, just fill them up. Fill the soul. Complete restoration in Jesus' name.